I've been thinking a lot about some of the things we said the other day, I guess, prompted me to really be thinking about our vows and the basis of our vows. And everybody that's here tonight, both online and here, have all formally taken the Bodhisattva vows. And it, what I've been struck by is, you know, we think of, in a sense, the main thing we teach or study as we prepare for our taking our vows is the precepts. There's the beautiful, in other traditions, the Lojan slogans, which are training in compassion. And that's at the heart, really, of what our vows are about, right? And many of you may have looked at Norman Fisher's book of a Zen version of those slogans. And one of the things that really struck me that I don't think I've noticed, at least the way I'm noticing it now, is that the first set of these slogans is vowing or committing to beginning, to taking this path. And there are four slogans, and three of those slogans really are covering the five remembrances. So those three slogans are, you're gonna die. And the other one is that human life is suffering, which really is, after all, what's being said by growing old, illness, and losing everything and everybody you care about. Those things are at the heart of our human suffering. And then the fourth one, I've told you two, three, and four is what I'm telling you right now, these slogans. The fourth one is the last remembrance. It's that your actions basically are your only belongings. But the really thing, the thing that I want to focus on tonight that I'm, that is the very first one of these, which I think is the ground of all of the rest of what we do, and it's appreciating the rarity and preciousness of this human life. And that is what I'm finding I'm always going back to, or always starting from, that place, that really recognizing that. And so I've had fun, I consulted Eric. He's not here tonight, as a physicist, astronomer, to help me with looking and thinking about and trying to even have the slightest comprehension of the magnitude of this, of what this really means to take in fully what this, the rarity and the preciousness of this human life. And Norman in his book talks about in his way about the rarity, because preciousness is pretty much often looked at as a function of how rare something is. The really rare things are the precious things, usually. And so as I first started to think about, you know, my human life, and all of, and I talked about it a couple of weeks ago, having had a momentous birthday, I was looking at who I am and what I am and how I got here. And, you know, thinking about things like everything I see, I've contributed to from my beginning of the beginning of my birth, before that, to this unfolding, without knowing where it would go, without being invested in that. And it's just the mystery of all of that, of how every choice is a product of a previous choice or your conditions and your conditioning. So there's really no choice at all in the sense of having control. To think about how every moment of that, of your life, has contributed to the next choice and the next one and the next movement, to, and that all by itself is mind-boggling. How did I end up where I am, from where I came from, and all of that part? And then when you think about the 13 whatever point whatever billion years that have gone into the making of this world that is compatible and to me living here and any life being on this planet, all of the things that had to happen for this moment to be this moment, from these 13 point whatever billion years, and to result in me, you, every kind of life being a manifestation of the universe and a manifestation of, if you want to say, the emptiness or of reality. And the magnitude of what this all is, I was like, okay, how do I even begin to conceive of what I'm going to know from the beginning is inconceivable. And so I started very fundamental things. So a billion, okay, there's 13 billion. Well, what's a billion? You might be surprised to know, or maybe you know this, but I didn't. If you started counting and counted one number every second, 24 hours a day, how long do you think it would take to get to a billion? You don't have to say anything, but it would take 31.69 years. And we throw the number billion around like it's just kind of nothing. Just let that just try to even sink in. Just a tiny little billion, which in the magnitude of things, that's like a grain of sand. A trillion is really mind-boggling. If you did the same thing, counting your numbers, it would take you, I love this, 31,709 years. So it quickly becomes overwhelmingly mind-boggling, the magnitude of all. So I'll just add one other little part, because the Milky Way galaxy, our galaxy that we live within, is approximately 100,000 light years in diameter. Now light travels 300,000 kilometers per second, which means, for example, if light is circumventing the Earth, it would go 7.5 times around the Earth in 1 second. And we're talking about how far it travels in a year to come to have any understanding of the magnitude. In 100,000 years, that light traveling at that speed per second is the size of our galaxy. And the current guess is there are 2 trillion galaxies in this universe. Now, you can quickly see, we can't even begin to imagine that. And this little planet Earth, not even nearly a speck of sand, is the source of life that exists, we pretty much assume, nowhere else that has this exact all of the conditions that happened on this Earth. So, rare. This is rare. Any form of life from Earth is beyond comprehension and rare and precious. So this is our starting point. And then there's awareness from our understanding of emptiness, that not only have you received this precious and rare gift, but you are this precious and rare gift because of the emptiness of three wheels of giver, receiver, and gift. You receive this gift, and now what is your life? It's a manifestation of that gift. It's how you give back from the basis of what you've been given. And that just gives me chills. It literally gives me chills. The awesomeness of this. And with that as our ground, wow. Wow. And that's another interesting thing, the wow factor, because we now have science that has done all this research to show the amazing impact of awe on our lives. There's now all kinds of notions of how to cultivate awe in your life, because what's the first thing you think of with feeling awe and wonderment? For me, it's spaciousness. It's just a complete openness and spaciousness and wonder, an absolutely foundational don't know mind. It's beyond even don't know, and not possible of conceiving of. And yet, these are things we know in our being in a way that tells me the reality of emptiness, because that's that knowing in a way that I know that more and better than anything else, that this is as precious and rare as it is. So that's, I think, where we want to start in our, as the basis of where we can live and vow and vow things that we know. I'm going to free all beings. I'm going to enter all Dharma gates. I'm going to end all delusions. Well, that's just of a magnitude like we've already been talking about, thinking about. And I know that I can't do that. And yet I also know that if I give all I've got to being alive and present and in the moment of this moment, then I've done all that could possibly be done and given all I can possibly give. And I think that what the amazingness of all of this makes it also easier for me to see that foundational aspect and why Peter and Norman and our teachers and our practice tells us over and over again, all of this comes down completely to love. And if you take what I've been saying about the planet as an example, I'll go back to Kathy Fisher's wonderful way to understand love as gravity. Because gravity is given to all as it's required. It's given in proportion to your needs, to your very beingness. You're held on the earth and in the earth in a way that allows all of life to be supported. You interact the way you do in the world. You sit here, you lay down, you do a cartwheel, turn somersaults, jump up and down. Whatever we do is all supported by gravity. No questions asked, no payment asked, nothing asked in return. Everything is given just with gravity and with nothing lacking. And I think that's a pretty good metaphor for what we're talking about with absolute love. And really, what does all of this say? You know, we have these wonderful Zen masters and their little phrases that capture all of our practice or Zen. I see my Zumi Roshi's little phrase just being right there. Appreciate your life. That's really all that's being said here. A truly, truly appreciate this life. And as I mentioned a few weeks ago, I recently turned 75, which really brought me to a place of appreciating my life and the fact that I have a life that has taken me 75 years, and appreciating this body, then what this body brings us, right? All of our senses and all of our experiences. And I think our appreciation, as we probably all have experienced, can be heightened by our current conditions. And I think most or all of you know, 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's. And that, by the way, is why I always have water with me. And sometimes I, every 4 hours, I have to take a medication to keep my symptoms in control. And it's miraculous, actually. I am a wonderful example of the what we have available in our society from modern medicine, because I had this wonderful success in this way. And experiencing death from of our loved ones, it happens that tonight is the 8th anniversary of my husband John's death after being with together for 35 years. And it's been about a year and a half since I experienced the death of my beloved Michael. And so those things feed into appreciating this life and what it brings, the heartbreak and the absolutely over the top joy that is in our lives together. And you may have noticed recently that I'm on the well-being list. And that is because I found out in May that I have a hitchhiker in my body that I didn't know about. I have a growth on my in my ovary that probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks I will have surgery and have this removed. It has been another amazing Dharma gate that what can I do but go through it. It's teaching me, just as everything else has, a different way of paying attention to my body, what it needs. I will be in the hospital for 3 days. I'll be in recovery for 6 weeks. We'll find out what it actually is made of, this particular being that has taken up residence, once it is ready to be removed. And it's been an interesting journey of the moment and paying attention to where my mind goes and habits and anxiety. And I believe it is the wonderment of our practice that I am not going to those dark places, because this is truly don't know. And why would I invest in those stories until there's something that is known? And so I invite you also to let go of that anxiety. I will know, and I'll let everybody else know when something is known. And it turns out I'm going to have the surgery in Victoria through the Cancer Agency, because they have the capacity to find out what this is right away and to act accordingly. And I have met the surgeons, and I am going to receive the best care that I could imagine. I could not be happier with the way I'm being taken care of. And I wanted everybody to know that, because having these kind of experiences, we just finished chanting and bowing with in the chant of, do not waste your time by night or day. And everything I've talked about is got that byline as a part of it, because this is too precious. Every moment is so rare and precious and fleeting, and we don't know how many more moments that we have, only that I got a lot less ahead of me than I've had behind me. That much I do know. And why would I want to? There's another chant that talks about waste the spark, right, of the Flintstone. It's just like that. Our lives are like that. And why would I waste even a moment of that? And so these difficult things in our life that we might frame that way actually can be beautiful gates and come with teachings if we will just open ourselves to those teachings. That's what I'm discovering these days. And so all I can ever do in terms of talking to you is just share something that is vividly coming alive for me from our practice. And this is what is vividly alive for me right now. And so there you have it.